Funding for Capital Report is provided by the following. The Able Trust, believing growth of Florida's economy depends on a diverse and inclusive workforce. The Able Trust works with the business community to include talented Floridians with disabilities as vital team members. More information is at abletrust.org. WFSU-FM, Tallahassee. From the state capitol, Florida Public Radio brings you Capital Report.
Florida has a shortage of school teachers. At least part of the answer may be simply better pay for teachers.
Until everybody, the entire system, is treated with respect and provided with that career path, we're going to continue to have these shortages.
Also this week, the community schools concept for educationally challenged kids seems to be gaining traction in Florida.
This frees up our teachers to teach and alleviates them of the other responsibilities or roles they find themselves playing, like parent.
We'll also learn that a product commonly sold in places like smoke shops and gas stations isn't really legal, at least not yet, and we'll revisit the storm-tossed Florida panhandle to find some businesses that are struggling to return to normal operation. I'm Tom Flanagan, and this is Capital Report. Governor Ron DeSantis is proposing changes to the state's Best and Brightest program that he says will result in sizable bonuses for highly rated teachers. Ryan Daly reports this comes amid a teacher shortage that has made recruitment a necessity.
If public school teachers in Florida hit certain performance benchmarks, they may soon stand to benefit to the tune of as much as $9,000. An incentive program is already in place under Best and Brightest, which tops out at $6,000 for those rated highly effective. DeSantis says he can increase the bonuses with a $422 million investment. But Scott Major, president of the Leon County Classroom Teachers Association, says only about a quarter of teachers will benefit.
It may be a step in the right direction of trying to do something positive with the best and brightest, but it is not a step in the right direction to deal with a teacher shortage.
Major breaks down another way of looking at DeSantis's proposed investment.
Let's take the $422 million that is meant to go into this program. Based off of the 2018-19 second survey on the Florida Department of Education, for instructional staff, if you took that amount and you divided it by the total amount of people that were instructional, it could yield about a $2,300 raise for instructional staff. This would start to bring us out of the, I think, ranked 45th out of 50 states in teacher pay.
But Major says that wouldn't address support staff pay, which ranks 47th out of 50 states.
Quite frankly, we're not investing in public schools or any system, even if it includes vouchers and charters, that would make individuals consider it a long-term career.
Talia Milgram Elcott is the executive director of 100K in 10, an organization aiming to add 100,000 teachers in STEM subjects nationwide by 2021. Like Major, she believes changes need to be of the long-term variety in order to attract teachers.
The first step is salary, if it's below what's possible. And a recent analysis showed us something really important, which is teaching used to be an above average pay, just above average, in most states, just not that long ago, back in the early 2000s. And now it is below average in 42 states.
Milgram Elcott says that doesn't put the profession in good company.
The only other jobs that have declined like that, or their relative rank in terms of whether the people who work in them are well paid, are things like deliveries and working in an electronics store or in a warehouse.
In January, several members of the State Board of Education said differentiated pay might be one way to lure teachers for subjects with the greatest need. The board's chair said the idea may be entertained. Milgram Elcott says such a concept stands to make a difference.
I think targeted ways of increasing salaries for teachers very valuable. And so I'd say, when you think about compensation, you want to think about it holistically. Compensation can be in the form of base salary, it can be in the form of bonuses, it can be in the form of relieving other obligations like debt relief or student loan debt.
DeSantis has expressed interest in implementing a teacher recruitment program that gives tuition forgiveness in exchange for committing to the job for 5 years. The price tag on that is reportedly $10 million. Milgram Elcott says some potential solutions are readily achievable.
We look at those things and we make a few really high-powered moves to support them. Some of the targeted salary adjustments we talked about, some targeted ways to make the workday a healthier one for teachers, then I think we can expect to see teaching as a thriving sector.
Though, in Major's opinion, turning Florida's teacher woes around hinges on supporting all departments that make schools function.
What people need to realize is that public education, the folks that work at a school site, regardless of the content area, regardless of the instructional or non-instructional, they all have a part to play in a positive impact on the students. Until everybody, the entire system, is treated with respect and provided with that career path, we're going to continue to have these shortages.
For Florida Public Radio, I'm Ryan Daly.
Turning around a troubled school isn't easy, and Florida lawmakers have tried many formulas over the years. On Thursday of this week, the House Pre-K through 12 Innovation Subcommittee learned how one approach has increased graduation and income rates while driving down crime and other social ills. Margie Menzel has that story.
Timothy only recalls the moment he learned he was headed for one of Orlando's most troubled public schools, Evans High in Pine Hills.
I was like, not Evans, because in Orlando, Evans is considered as a school that you don't want to go to. So many problems, violence. It had a bad reputation.
But Only's time at Evans came not long after it became Florida's first community partnership school in 2011. A wide array of services was now available. Food, health care, counseling, tutoring, internships, and other supports. Not only to students and their families, but to the entire neighborhood.
I use every service at the community school, down to the mental health, the internships, the clothing, the food pantry, the Fame House, which is another place where kids who don't have a place to stay, they can go live there because they're dealing with a lot of issues at home.
After a rough start, Only ended up as president of his senior class at Evans. He now studies criminology at Florida State University and is helping to set up a new community partnership school at Tallahassee's Sable Palm Elementary. There are now 17 such schools statewide, a project started by the Children's Home Society and housed at the University of Central Florida. The schools address hunger, poverty, violence, illness, abuse, and neglect. Melanie Rodriguez is with UCF's Center for Community Schools.
This frees up our teachers to teach and alleviates them of the other responsibilities or roles they find themselves playing, like parent, advocate, or therapist.
Jarvis Wheeler manages the Children's Home Society program at Evans. He points to the data. A decrease in the most severe behavioral referrals from more than 1,600 during the 2012-2013 school year to 846 5 years later. Graduation rates up from 64% in 2010-2011 to 88% last year.
For every high school graduate, their income potential goes up about $10,000. And for every high school graduate, they avoid society costs potentially such as teenage pregnancy, juvenile justice, and delinquency, and that estimates to over $290,000 per individual.
Committee Chairman Ralph Mazzullo, a Citrus County Republican, asked Evans Principal Rolando Bailey how he manages to ask more of his teachers, yet retain them at high rates, 84% for last year. Bailey says the community partnership school has been so successful, its graduates are entering the workforce.
My last five hires at Evans High School, Evans High School graduates. And I think that's critical because now you don't have to worry or answer the question, are they vested? And when you have individuals that's vested, they understand and now they mirror what they see. And also I would say that the retention comes through the support. You know, teachers, when they see that their work is meaningful and is purposeful and they see the outcomes, then they're all in.
The community partnership schools are asking the legislature for $1.4 million for the next fiscal year. All such schools are required to provide a 25% match for these funds. Most generate more. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Margie Menzel.
Still to come on Capitol Report, opponents of a bill banning abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected worry it could put the health of women at risk.
When you don't allow that access to care, women will turn to other methods to be able to get the care that they need.
Low THC cannabis is being sold in stores, but questions over the legality of that are still up in the air.
To be honest with you, it looks similar, smells similar, feels similar. But ultimately, it is not the same.
Florida senators get an update on the trouble-plagued SunPass toll road system.
We picked a company that was unqualified to do the work. And I don't understand how they ended up with the contract, but they were wholly unqualified.
And little by little, an entire Florida region is struggling back to something approaching normalcy months after Hurricane Michael.
It gives me something to do to come here and feed people, and people you handle a plate and they say, God bless you. And I'll tell them, you know, God bless you back.
Under a pair of bills going before the Florida legislature this season, women could be charged with a third-degree felony if they get an abortion after a fetal heartbeat is detected. Kevin Del Orbe has more.
Kimberly Scott with the Florida Alliance of Planned Parenthood calls the bill extreme.
This would be banning, as you know, banning abortions as early as 6 weeks into pregnancy. And at 6 weeks, most women don't even know that they're pregnant. And so this bill could take away a woman's right to make her own medical decision before she even would know that she had a decision to make.
Scott says that can put a woman's health at risk.
When you don't allow that access to care, women will turn to other methods to be able to get the care that they need. And in states where we've seen these type of bans filed, we have seen an uptick in self-induced abortions.
Ocala Republican Senator Dennis Baxley is one of the bill's sponsors.
It becomes clear to me that the heartbeat is such a symbolic thing of life. I mean, where you have a heartbeat, you have life. And I think that is a simple way to put together a real reasonable challenge to the idea of, is this what a civil society does?
Opponents of the bill call it unconstitutional. In Iowa, a state judge struck down a similar measure after Governor Kim Reynolds signed the bill into law last May. But Baxley says the issue isn't black and white.
These are not immutable interpretations of what the Constitution is saying. And I believe the value of every single life has a chance. Now, it depends on the judge, how far you go in challenging it. There's a lot of different angles that will work off of. But I believe it's time to reevaluate our value of children in this culture and what we find is acceptable.
Pensacola Republican Representative Mike Hill is sponsoring the bill in the House. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Kevin DeLorbe.
A non-euphoric strain of cannabis is being sold in stores across Florida. It's available as oils, edibles, and even flower. But as questions about the legality of it linger, CBD remains in limbo. Blaze Ganey has more.
To find out about the legality of CBD, I figured I'd go right to the source. So I went to Tallahassee's own Natural Life, a store known for having a large selection of CBD products.
Hey, how's it going?
This is in reference to Holly being announced today. Director of Cannabis.
Oh, no, it isn't actually.
That's Alex Petrick, the distribution manager at Natural Life. He's talking about the new director of cannabis, Holly Bell. Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried announced Bell's new job Wednesday. Fried also addressed questions about CBD.
It's not legal here right now. and that's exactly what I'm hoping the legislation is going to allow. We're working with some of the lawmakers so they can change the definition so that we can, in fact, do a CBD program here in our state to make it very clear so that the consumers are not, it's, you know, a lot of that's on the marketplace is fraud is happening to the consumers.
The Tallahassee Police Department has raided Natural Life several times since April 2018 and seized their raw CBD flowers. Petrick says those raids have cost the store more than $25,000. but he says his company is following federal law.
It literally comes down to one cannabinoid. It's Delta 9 THC. Delta 9 THC is the euphoric causing compound that can create a sense of a high or a euphoria or paranoia in some senses. Industrial hemp legally has to be below 0.3 Delta 9 THC. That is the difference.
Meanwhile, the state's interim director of medical marijuana, Christine Coppola, says there's no way to be certain what's in the stores.
As it relates to the possession of any other marijuana product sourced from anywhere other than a medical marijuana treatment center, there are many facts and circumstances around that. I don't know how that product was obtained. Was it tested? Is it being diverted to minors?
Petrick says Natural Life goes through a lot of work to make sure consumers know what they're buying.
We go out of our way to pay for additional lab testing. Not only do we get lab testing done from the state where it's grown, so in this case, Oregon, those labs are certified by the Department of Agriculture in Oregon. Then it arrives into Florida. We take that flower again and ship it off to another lab located in Florida. So now that you have a lab report from where it was grown to now from the state where it's being sold, overwhelmingly verifying that this flower is indeed industrial hemp and not the illicit cousin.
Meanwhile, unlike Natural Life, who has been raided by TPD, Hemporum hasn't run into the same problems.
We're a health and wellness store. We provide CBD, CBD oils, CBD lotions, also provide CBD flower as a cigarette alternative and alternative to marijuana.
That's Hemporum store owner, Stephen Goss. He says he's heard about the raids but doesn't understand them. His business was visited by the United States Drug Enforcement Agency and hasn't had any trouble.
We have had been visited by the DEA, where the agents came in and looked our store over, and I spoke with him on the phone for a good 10 or 15 minutes. And he said he would keep me abreast of any issues that came up.
Goss says that was more than 1 month ago. Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried was recently questioned what stores like Hemporum that are selling the leaf should do, since she says it's currently illegal.
So we are not going to come in and say that you cannot sell CBD in the state of Florida. However, what we're going to say is here's the regulated framework that we're going to go under. And so give everybody a period of time to start showing on your testing standards, all of your labeling requirements. And then afterwards, then we at least know that there's validation behind what is being sold.
And Natural Life's Patrick gives his customers this advice.
First, the receipt. It has what you bought. It's an industrial hemp product. Where you bought it, Natural Life in this case, the address of our store's number, the time of when you bought it. So if you got pulled over 30 minutes after the store and you have a receipt that says you were just there 30 minutes ago, it's pretty obvious that, you know, you did just get it from the store.
Currently, there is no date on when the framework will be put in place, but Freed said it should be almost immediately, and stores who don't follow the rules will be shut down. In the meantime, stores like Natural Life and Hemporum could still run into problems with law enforcement. That's because CBD flowers are identical to marijuana flowers. After all, Patrick says it's the same plant. He thinks the busts are because law enforcement simply doesn't want the hemp flower on the streets.
Behind the closed doors, they also let us know really what this is regarding is the hemp flower. Okay, we have a problem. We can't distinguish the difference. They could simply be getting products from you, putting marijuana in their bagging. How could we ever tell?
Patrick says he gets it, but he adds that's not his problem, but rather law enforcement's.
Law enforcement agencies do need the ability to test on the spot the difference between industrial hemp and marijuana. And
for WFSU News, I'm Blaze Ganey.
Final invoices are going out this week to SunPass customers who got caught in a billing backlog. The problem began with a trouble-plagued update to the state's toll road system. Gina Jordan reports issues that have bedeviled a SunPass contractor since last June still haven't been completely worked out.
As the last invoices were being readied, the Senate Infrastructure and Security Committee got an update on the SunPass debacle.
There are customer billing discrepancies throughout these areas. Overcharges, poor website performance, and a call center with unacceptable wait times.
Committee Chair Tom Lee laid out the issues with the company hired by the state to upgrade and consolidate SunPass office operations. The Florida Department of Transportation contracted with Conduent State and Local Solutions for the work in 2015. The department solicited proposals and deemed six vendors to be qualified. The department says Conduent was chosen because the company offered the best value. The Times-Herald Bureau in Tallahassee later found financial ties between Conduent and former Governor Rick Scott's investments. The system upgrades began last June and were supposed to take 1 week to deploy, but the system didn't go live as planned, and Lee says there have been significant implications, like problems with processing a lot of payments.
Just the turnpike alone is $1 billion a year in toll collections. That's about $2.7 million a day, 2.5 million transactions a day.
Watching in Hillsborough County, I was astounded and appalled at what I saw unfold.
Tampa Democratic Senator Janet Cruz has several toll roads in her district, and she's gotten an earful from constituents.
I mean, we picked a company that was unqualified to do the work. And I don't understand how they ended up with the contract, but they were wholly unqualified. So I want to ask you, isn't it time that we look for another vendor if Conduent is unable to resolve these issues in a timely fashion? And why would we do this to a taxpayer?
Cruz says the state made a mistake in hiring Conduent and keeping the company around after so much turmoil.
In my opinion, they failed us miserably, and to work with them and give them the opportunity to do this when they were unqualified in the first place personally offends me.
Conduent has been fined $780,000 so far for not meeting deadlines. The company could incur fines totaling a quarter of its $343 million contract. Gainesville Republican Senator Keith Perry took a different view. He says he's never seen any system launch without problems, and they shouldn't be too quick to break a contract.
And I think, and although I understand the frustration to think that we're not very knowledgeable in this thing, would try to say that you're going to cancel a contract and enter a new one, might be a little bit more than what, as a committee, that we even have any knowledge. I'm not saying we shouldn't look into it more.
Palm Harbor Republican Senator Ed Hooper likened the problems with the SunPass upgrade to the state's unemployment website that relaunched in 2013, behind schedule and with design flaws. He thinks stronger wording in state contracts could help.
Maybe we ought to think about some severe language that should this occur again. We don't have to talk about should we cancel a contract and get into a legal quagmire that takes years to resolve.
Lawmakers were told the SunPass system is now functioning as it should, and the final 4.5 million invoices left over from the backlog are in the process of being sent out. Those invoices are mainly going to motorists who don't have transponders and instead use the toll-by-plate system. The committee chairman said officials from Conduent were invited to talk to senators about the rollout, but no one from the company attended the meeting. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Gina Jordan.
You're listening to Capitol Report from Florida Public Radio. I'm Tom Flanagan. Finally this week, officials from Mexico Beach and Port St. Joe say it will take many more months to clear debris from the once pristine shore. After Hurricane Michael, the priority is shifting from recovery to rebuilding. But Robbie Gaffney reports some residents are still in need of help.
When the sun rises in Mexico Beach, it illuminates the storm-stricken landscape. There are cars wedged into the banks of canals, and debris trucks patrol the neighborhoods. Often, they pile up snapped wood, sheetrock, and the soaked remains of homes. Amid the destruction is the familiar smell of barbecue.
We're out here feeding the victims, storm victims, the survivors, if you will. They're not victims. These people are definitely survivors.
Survivors, like Brian Padgett, are working to aid those in need.
And then, the work crews, the supporters, the people who are here to help them regain some sort of normal lifestyle again.
Padgett burns hickory and chestnut wood in the morning hours. The smoke makes his eyes sting as he prepares free barbecue. He comes from Alabama, and after Hurricane Michael, he drove his friend's food truck named Jarheads to the Panhandle, serving hot meals to those who need it.
Ma'am?
Come on, let's get some food.
I was just wondering what you're cooking up.
Today we've got chicken and we've got pulled pork. We've also got barbecue baked beans and green beans cooked in pork stock, which are wonderful once it cooks in.
Padgett traveled to the border of Mexico Beach and Port St. Joe in October.
There's no other assistance. There's no aid. It's matter of fact, shortly after we got here, the people who are typically put in place for this, they did the unthinkable, which is pull out.
There's a variety of meals depending on the day. He uses donations to buy fresh meat and produce. Often the supply distribution site next door will contribute to his menu.
Grab and go.
Residents call it the White Tent.
They have lots of supplies, cleaning supplies and things like that that we occasionally need, and it's nice to have that.
Michael Henson stops in at Jarheads when he gathers supplies from the White Tent.
A lot of people around here depend on these two places. These are the only two places like this around here for quite a ways.
While restaurants have begun opening back up, their prices can be too high for some residents. Padgett has been offering free hot meals for almost 4 months now, a feat made possible in part through donations and volunteers.
I'm not one to sit around.
Sarah Lynn Harder was kicked out of her rental home by her landlord and now lives in a camper. It shakes and rocks when 30-mile-an-hour winds from rainstorms pour down. She says storms often prevent her from a good night's rest, but the weather does little to erode her spirit.
It gives me something to do, to come here and feed people, and people, you hand them a plate and they'll say, God bless you. And I'll tell them, you know, God bless you back. So it makes you feel good to be able to give food to people. And some people you can really, really need it. It's probably the only hot meal they get. Hello. Do you like sweet or spicy barbecue sauce? Okay. Sweet or spicy barbecue sauce?
Spicy.
Okay.
Yeah, what we're doing here is not just normal, but it brings back a touch of sanity.
Jarhead's barbecue owner, Brian Padgett, again.
When you go through this type of... you know, disaster, you're not yourself. It's... You become numb to a lot of things. You become emotionally void. And when you finally get that first hot meal, or you know, even the first human interaction, somebody you can share yourself
like
with,
it
brings back more sanity than normalcy.
Some residents wonder if they'll ever be able to cook their own hot meals. Many fear surviving off donations will be their new normal. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Robbie Gaffney.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Ryan Daly, Blaise Gainey, Lynn Hatter, Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, and Sean Mulcahy. We also thank Margie Menzel, Robbie Gaffney, and Kevin DiOrbe, along with our contributing Florida Public Radio stations. Technical assistance for Capitol Report is provided by Ken Smith, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Please join us again next week at this time for more reports from the state capitol.
Audio copies of Capitol Report are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. You can also hear Capitol Report online, including archives of past shows, at WFSU.org. Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following: the Able Trust, dedicated to connecting businesses and workers with disabilities. Businesses are encouraged to recruit, interview, and hire talented and loyal Floridians with disabilities as they seek to broaden their customer base and reach all of Florida's diverse population. AbleTrust.org. WFSU-FM, Tallahassee. This is Florida Public Radio.